Welcome to worship and happy Easter.
Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
Thank you. Good morning. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
Welcome to worship here at Trinity Lutheran in Hoyleton. My name is Pastor Nate Wallenberg. Welcome to those of you watching this at home or wherever you happen to be. It is still the Easter season, and we give thanks to God for the resurrection and the hope that we have because of it. This is the fifth Sunday of Easter already, and it is a beautiful day that the Lord has made, so we rejoice and we are glad in it. God has gathered us together as his people, and we are here to receive his gifts in his word, to hear once again of the amazing gospel, that we are his people and we are forgiven and we will live with him forever and ever. And so, gathered as his people, we will look at page 151 in the hymnal. That's where we'll begin our worship, using Divine Service Setting 1 for our liturgy today. And once you find that, we'll have everyone stand up and we'll begin with our invocation. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let us then confess our sins to God our Father. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us, forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all of your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Turn now to the introit printed on the inside cover of your bulletin. Oh, sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done marvelous things. The Lord has made known his salvation. He has remembered his steadfast love and faithfulness to the house of Israel. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Sing praises to the Lord with the lyre. With trumpets and the sound of the horn. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Oh, sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done marvelous things. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. For for the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. Glory to God in the highest, and peace to his people on earth. We worship you, we give you thanks, we praise you for your glory. Lord Jesus Christ, only Son of the Father, Lord God, Lamb of God, you take the Lord be with you. Let us pray together the collect of the day. We pray, O God, you make the minds of your faithful to be of one will. Grant that we may love what you have commanded and desire what you promise, that among the many changes of this world, our hearts may be fixed where true joys are found. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated for the reading of God's word. The first reading appointed for the fifth Sunday of Easter comes to us from the book of Acts, chapter 11, beginning with verse 1. Now the apostles and the brothers who were throughout Judea heard that the Gentiles also had received the word of God. So when Peter went up to Jerusalem, the circumcision party criticized him, saying, "You went to uncircumcised men and ate with them." But Peter began and explained it to them in order. "I was in the city of Joppa praying, and in a trance I saw a vision, something like a great sheet descending, being let down from heaven by its four corners, and it came down to me. Looking at it closely, I observed animals and beasts of prey and reptiles and birds of the air, and I heard a voice saying to me, 'Rise, Peter, kill and eat.' But I said, 'By no means, Lord, for nothing common or unclean has ever entered my mouth.' But the voice answered a second time from heaven, 'What God has made clean, do not call common.' This happened three times, and all was drawn up again into heaven. And behold, at that very moment, three men arrived at the house in which we were, sent to me from Caesarea. And the Spirit told me to go with them, making no distinction. These six brothers also accompanied me. We entered the man's house, and he told us how he had seen the angel stand in his house and say, 'Send to Joppa and bring Simon, who is called Peter. He will declare to you a message by which you will be saved, you and all your household.' As I began to speak, the Holy Spirit fell on them just as on us at the beginning. And I remembered the word of the Lord, how he said, John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. If then God gave the same gift to them as he gave to us when we believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, who is I that I could stand in God's way? When they heard these things, they fell silent, and they glorified God, saying, Then to the Gentiles also God has granted repentance that leads to life. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. We join now in speaking the words of the gradual responsively. Christ has risen from the dead. He has given him dominion over the works of his hands. Our epistle is from the Revelation of St. John, chapter 21, beginning with verse 1. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain any more, for the former things have passed away. And he who was seated on the throne said, Behold, I am making all things new. Also, he said, Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. And he said to me, It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty I will give from the spring of the water of life without payment. The one who conquers will have this heritage, and I will be his God, and he will be my son. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please stand for the Alleluia and verse. The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 16th chapter. Jesus said, I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. Therefore I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you. A little while, and you will see me no longer. And again a little while, and you will see me. So some of his disciples said to one another, What is this that he says to us? A little while, and you will not see me. And again a little while, and you will see me. And because I am going to the Father? So they were saying, What does he mean by a little while? We do not know what he is talking about. Jesus knew that they wanted to ask him, so he said to them, Is this what you are asking yourselves? What I meant by saying, A little while and you will not see me, and again a little while and you will see me? Truly, truly, I say to you, you will weep and lament, but the world will rejoice. You will be sorrowful, but your sorrow will turn into joy. When a woman is giving birth, she has sorrow because her hour has come. But when she has delivered the baby, she no longer remembers the anguish for joy that a human being has been born into the world. So also you have sorrow now, but I will see you again, and your hearts will rejoice, and no one will take your joy from you. This is the gospel of the Lord. Having heard the word of God, we now join together in speaking the words of our common Christian faith. This morning, we will confess the Apostles' Creed. We confess together, I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Congregation may be seated. And at this time, I will invite our younger Christians to come forward for the children's message. Good morning. I know. How's everybody doing?
Good.
It is a beautiful day. A little warm out there. Here comes Zach. You can just walk, buddy. You can just walk. It's okay. So it's a special week. It is the last week of school here at Trinity. And maybe some of you have a different day that's your last day of school, but this is a big deal, right? We are coming into the end. I know we've got some fun things planned here at Trinity this week. So what are some things that you're looking forward to doing during summer break? Evie? You're going to have your cousin stay with you for a little bit? Okay, that'll be fun. What do you think, Bree? Going on vacation. You going anywhere fun? Yellowstone. That's cool. Gavin, what are you looking forward to? Oregon. That's pretty far away. Yeah. What are you looking forward to? Going on vacation. Lots of vacations. That's good. What are you looking forward to, Zoe?
I like two things.
Two things. Okay. Oh, we'll get the pool out. Okay, the little kiddie pool.
We're going on vacation to Connecticut.
And we're going to Connecticut. Yeah, that's right. We're going away too. What are you looking forward to, Winnie? Vacation Bible school. I love that. Yeah, I'm looking forward to that too. So there's lots of cool. One more thing. What are you looking forward to? Getting out the pool. Yeah, that's a lot of fun, right? So as the weather warms up, there's all these cool things that we can do, and there's trips that we can take, and there's vacation Bible school, and there's all these really fun things to look forward to. Now, I know sometimes when we're looking forward to something, sometimes when that thing actually comes, we might have a reason why we might get a little disappointed. Now, I'm not saying that you're going to have a disappointing vacation this year or anything like that, but sometimes, like for example, what I always look forward to doing when school is out in the summer is I always say to myself, I've got like 5 or 6 big projects that I want to work on that I can't normally do during the school year. I want to make sure I get all that stuff done. You know how many of those 5 or 6 projects I always end up getting done before the school year starts again? Maybe 0, actually. Yeah, usually I have a lot of things that I'd like to do, and they don't really happen, so I might get disappointed. So here's something else that came up for us recently. So we were really, really excited. Zoe and Zach and Max and I, we went to get some Sonic food in Centralia. There's a Sonic there. Who's been to Sonic before? Okay, so you guys like the wacky packs at Sonic? You ever get the wacky packs? Yeah, some of you? Okay, so I know, like, when I say we're going to go and get Sonic, one of the things that I know Zoe and Zach look forward to a lot is the toy in the wacky pack, right? So they give you, you know, your food, they give you a drink, they give you a toy to go along with that. Now, something I've noticed is that Sonic toys are usually, well, they can be disappointing sometimes. Would you say that? They can be a little disappointing. So this most recent time, we went there, and we were all excited about it, and they gave us the food, and we pulled around to park in a certain spot so we could eat our food, and we opened up the Wacky Pack bags, and guess what? There were no toys.
It was just a coupon.
Just a coupon, right? That's disappointing, isn't it? And there was this other time when we went there, and instead of having a recent toy, they had these. This is a finger puppet that we just got this like last week, but this was like from Trolls, you know, the movie Trolls, but it was like leftover toys from Christmas. So there's like a snowman on here, and it, right? So they ran out of their normal toys, and they just had this finger puppet from Christmas. That's it. And it doesn't even do anything. All you can do is just put it on my pinky and just kind of do this. You could fit it on your finger. But you know how I know that you didn't really like that toy very much? It was still sitting in the back of Mom's van. That's how I know.
Right?
Right. So sometimes, even when we're looking forward to something, when it actually comes or when it actually happens, we might feel a little bit disappointed. Okay? Now, in today's Bible reading from the book of Revelation, John, the Apostle John, so one of Jesus' disciples, he saw a vision of heaven. And he wrote down the words of the things that he saw so that all of God's people, when they would read his revelation of heaven, they would get really, really excited about going to heaven. Who here is excited about going to heaven? Okay, good. I hope all of your hands are raised because we should all be excited to go to heaven someday. But here's the thing, you guys. Heaven is going to be a lot different from what we experience right now. And sometimes when people are thinking about what heaven is going to be like, they can be a little bit worried. Doesn't that kind of sound strange? But because it's so different from what we know here on earth, sometimes when people think about what heaven's going to be like, they get a little worried. They wonder if they're going to really like living in heaven. Or maybe they wonder what kinds of things we'll eat when we're in heaven. Or what kinds of things we'll do when we're in heaven. Sometimes people really wonder about that, and they start to worry that maybe when we go to heaven, we might actually be a little disappointed. Can you believe that? Now, I can tell you that we know for sure that we will never be disappointed in heaven. And the way that we know for sure is because God sent his son Jesus to die on the cross, to rise from the dead, but also to go into heaven first. And because he is seated in heaven at the right hand of his Father on his throne, he is giving us all of these amazing blessings already here on earth. So he gives us things like his word, which reminds us that we are his and we are forgiven and will live forever. But he also has baptized us, or many of us, right? And someday you'll get to receive the Lord's Supper. That's another way that Jesus gives us blessings from heaven. And if we think that those things are pretty great now, and we feel blessed by God even now, if there's anything at all that we are looking forward to on earth now, and we say God is good to us, well, guess what? That means it's going to be even better in heaven. Nothing gets worse when we go to heaven. Everything gets better in heaven. Right? So that means if you have things that you enjoy about life now and you feel blessed by God now, it's going to be even more exciting when you get to live in heaven with Jesus someday. So there's never any reason for us to be worried that we're going to be disappointed. All right, Zach, I know you want to say something, and you've been raising your hand for a long time. So what is it, bud? We can do a slip and slide, right? So exactly, that's a great example, right? So if we're excited about things like slip and slides, and we think that that's a big blessing from the Lord, that we can have fun like that, guess what? We're going to have even more fun in heaven. So with that in mind, let's go to God in prayer. Let's thank him for that promise. And if you'd fold your hands and bow your heads and repeat after me. Dear God, we thank you for your promise of heaven. Help us to look forward to eternal life with you. In your name we pray. Amen. All right, thank you guys very much. You can go back and sit with your moms and dads. It's an ornament from Christmas. Yeah, I know. You can take it. We'll turn now to our sermon hymn, which is number 674, O Jerusalem, O City, Fair and High. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for the sermon this morning is that second reading from Revelation chapter 21, John's vision of heaven, where he does see the holy city of Jerusalem coming down out of the clouds. He sees some amazing things. This is kind of like the tail end of his revelation. He's already, at this point, described many amazing and sometimes even disturbing things in the book of Revelation. But here, we're kind of wrapping the whole thing up and putting a bow on it, and he really ends it on a positive note, right? We will, as God's people, live happily ever after. And like I was sharing with the kids just a moment ago, no matter what we think heaven will be like, it is going to more than exceed our expectations. And thankfully, because of Christ, because of what he has done for us, we have so much to look forward to. This is our text. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, there was a pop song that came out back in 2001 that I'm sure pretty much everyone here has to be at least somewhat familiar with, because it's just one of those songs that got played and has been played on the radio over and over and over and over again for like the last 20 years, really. And the song that I'm thinking of is the song called Drops of Jupiter by the band Train. And I thought about playing an audio clip of it for you this morning, but I decided against it because we have our live stream going, and sometimes Facebook will cut our video off in the middle if we have any copyrighted music. So I just said, we're not going to bother with that today, but I'm hoping most of you are at least somewhat familiar with that song. And even if you're not, there's really just one line that has kind of intrigued me over the years. I sometimes think about why it even made its way into that song, but basically, the premise behind it is that there's an individual, a woman of some sort, who apparently has been off on some intergalactic journey, and she's come back in some way to Earth after all of this. And so the singer will then ask her a few questions, which involve, like, did you make it to the Milky Way to see the lights are faded and that heaven is overrated? And that's the phrase right there, that heaven is overrated. And I think, I mean, that's just kind of like a strange thing to even say. And honestly, if you think about it, really a depressing thought. Even just the suggestion that maybe those of us who are here on Earth have been maybe hyping up heaven a little too much. And maybe, just maybe, heaven really isn't all that it's cracked up to be. And then when you Google the meaning behind that song and why it was written that way in the first place, it doesn't really get much better, because as it turns out, so the lead singer of Train is Pat Monahan, and he had given an interview a while back saying the reason why he wrote that song, it was about a year after his own mother had passed away. And evidently, he says, he had a dream. And in this dream, his mom had gone to heaven and had basically decided that it's not as good as Earth. Like, heaven is not as good as it could be or should be. And so she decides in his dream that she wants to come back to Earth in some mysterious spiritual way, and she would rather spend her eternity, you know, by her son's side. So that's why she's come back in the atmosphere with drops of Jupiter in her hair. And so, look, I mean, I don't know why anybody would experience the splendors of heaven and want to come back to this veil of tears. I know it means that you've got a really provocative thought for a catchy song for this pop tune, and that's fine. I promise I'm not trying to ruin it for anybody if you're a big fan of that song or a big fan of Train. But I guess what I would say is there's a reason why we don't look to the Billboard charts for our theology. And there's a reason why it's much better to open up Scripture and see what Scripture has to say about heaven. Because what God actually reveals to us about actual heaven in passages like the one we've got here in Revelation chapter 21, boy, this gives us a lot more to look forward to. St. John's vision of heaven blows Pat Monahan's vision of heaven clear out of the water. Now, that being said, the sad truth is, even if we don't agree with the idea that heaven really is or ever could be considered overrated, we can still imagine or at least sort of understand how a person might come to a conclusion like that. J- Just for the simple fact that every single other thing that we experience as we live in this fallen world is by default not as perfect as it could be or should be. And no matter what it is out there that we're experiencing, even the great things that we look forward to all the time, there's always this looming potential disappointment or disillusionment on the horizon for us. There's always a chance that we're going to be dissatisfied with pretty much everything that comes our way. And that's like what I was saying with the kids just a moment ago. In the last about 10 years or so that I've been a pastor, I've gotten those kinds of questions about heaven itself. Something that we know as Christians that we should all be looking forward to. But sometimes people ask things like, you know, am I going to know my loved ones in heaven? Am I going to see my pets again in heaven? What am I going to be eating? What am I going to be doing every day for the rest of eternity? And what's behind questions like that really is the underlying question, which is, am I going to be disappointed? Am I in some way going to feel like my eternity in heaven is lacking something? But of course, that's just our sinful human nature speaking. And we know that even the greatest things here on earth, you can always find somebody to find something wrong with it or have something negative to say about it. And if you don't believe me, just spend any amount of time on social media, right? You could tweet out that the sky is blue and you'll have people saying that you're a racist or something like that. I mean, it's crazy what goes on in social media. Or you can just spend a day with some middle schoolers, which I got to do the other day. I had the privilege and the honor of being one of the chaperones on the 7th and 8th grade field trip. We went to St. Louis this past Tuesday. It was a great day. We got to go to the seminary campus. We got to meet up with Pastor-elect Brett Jones, who's about to be ordained and installed over at Trinity and Hoffman. And after we were done with the seminary tour, we went and we got some food to eat. And when you're in St. Louis with a group of kids, I mean, what's one of the things you got to do? Well, you got to go to Ted Drew's, right? It's iconic. You got to go. You got to have some custard, right? Well, that turned out to be a pretty exciting thing for other reasons, too. Some of you know, you saw on Facebook that our whole group ended up getting onto the news. They were there interviewing people because we didn't know this at the time, but apparently Ted Drew's had been broken into the night before. So that was kind of all going on. But we were there. It's a nice, warm, sunny Tuesday afternoon, right? We're standing around, we're eating our ice cream, and the kids, they're having a great time. Rather than sitting, you know, in a classroom in Hoyleton, they got to be out there. They got to be at Ted Drew's. And so I just turn around, and I see a group of boys there, and I just say what's on my mind. I'm like, hey, guys, isn't this great? It doesn't get any better than this, does it? And one of the boys kind of looks up at me, and he's got this funny look on his face, and he says, honestly, Pastor, I no offense, but Ted Drew's is kind of overrated. And I'm like, what? Overrated? What are you talking about? He's like, well, you know, the sizes aren't that great. I mean, they give you way more ice cream at Yellen Helen's, which is the new ice cream stand in Dick's if you haven't been there yet. That is the first and only time I have ever heard somebody tell me that Ted Drew's is overrated. But that's the thing, right? You can't please everybody. There's always going to be someone who takes even the most beloved, iconic custard in the whole Midwest and has something to say about it. Not surprisingly, though, what we see in our text today is that God is able to do what not anyone else can do. God can, and He alone is able to delight and bring joy and excite people who are very, very difficult to please. He is able to take people who think that they've seen it all and captivate them with amazing visions of heaven. And I don't care whether we're talking about an eighth grader on a field trip, or if we're talking, like in this case, about an elderly apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ himself, who at the time was in exile on the island of Patmos, which is exactly what St. John was. when he received this vision of heaven from the Lord, this revelation that makes up the entire last book of the New Testament. You want to talk about somebody who had already been there and done that, someone that you would expect to be jaded, someone who would be unimpressed and would refuse to get all excited to believe all the hype about anything. St. John, in his elderly days, would have fit that description perfectly. This really is a guy who had seen quite a bit in his life. He was called as a young man to be a disciple of Jesus. He got to witness amazing things. I mean, the things that John saw and heard in those years would have made everything else seem so insignificant in comparison. This guy was in the inner circle of the God of the universe in the flesh. He witnessed everything that Jesus did, all of the healings of the sick and raising of the dead, and he saw Jesus control the weather. He saw Jesus shining brighter than the sun on the mountain of transfiguration. And he saw this same Jesus die on the cross and then rise from the dead 3 days later. And even after all of those amazing events, you can see in the books that we have and in the history that's told, you know that John spent the next several decades preaching this same good news to people all over, even in the midst of danger and persecution. John stood by and watched as every other apostle of Jesus was martyred for this faith. And now here he is, exiled on an island. You wouldn't expect John, in the twilight years of his very, very full life, to be fazed by anything anymore. And yet, what he sees, what God shows him here, is undeniable and absolutely breathtaking. John sees the new creation. He sees the city of God coming down out of the clouds. He sees what has been promised to you and to me and everyone who belongs to the Lamb. He sees what gets described exactly this way in verse 4, where God will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away. And the last thing that John sees is Jesus sitting on his throne. Now that's where our text cuts off here today in verse 7. But if we were to continue to read just a little bit further on, not only do we get to hear about what John sees, but we even get to see John's reaction to all of this. John is not seeing this vision, going ho-hum, rolling his eyes, saying, you know, actually, the lights are faded and heaven is overrated. John is not saying that at all. What John does is he falls down on his face in worship of the Lord, to the point where the very last thing that finally comes out of his mouth at the end in Revelation 22, verse 20, is simply, "Come, Lord Jesus." Now, you and I have not had the same kinds of experiences that St. John had, and we haven't seen the same kinds of visions either. But, you know, we have just as many reasons to believe that what God has promised us in heaven is really going to live up to the hype. Actually, it's going to do way more than that. It's going to far exceed the hype. And that's because the Holy Spirit has given us glimpses of heaven too. Glimpses that we call the means of grace, or in other words, the Word and the sacraments. These are the ways that God completely transforms our perspective here on earth. So, for example, God's Word comes to us in places like Revelation to give us an assurance of what is to come. We have holy baptism, which reminds us of God's amazing promises to each one of us. We have the Lord's Supper. We receive the body and blood of Christ. And this all is a guarantee of the glory and of the majesty. It's a foreshadowing of what is to come. It's really a window into heaven itself. It makes us certain and sure of the things that we will experience in eternity. So what ends up happening then is, instead of thinking that heaven might be overrated, What the Holy Spirit does within us, it makes us open our eyes and see the world differently and realize actually it's been the earth that's been overrated this entire time. People that don't have the same hope that we have a tendency to put all of their focus and attention on what this life has to offer. Just like looking around at everything around us and saying, well, this is the be-all, end-all. This is all there is, and it doesn't get any better than this. Actually, going back to the Drops of Jupiter song, that's really what the whole argument of that song is, that earth is better than heaven. That's what the whole bridge is about when the singer is trying to convince this person that, hey, don't forget, there's things here like fried chicken and your best friend always sticking up for you, even when I know you're wrong, and the best soy latte you have ever had, which honestly, that just sounds disgusting to me. And so I thank God that we have way more to look forward to in this life than any of that. And more importantly, we all give thanks to God that his heavenly promises to us are what can carry us through really, really difficult times and less than ideal situations that we find ourselves in here and now. Because the truth is, we do suffer at times in this world, just like all creation suffers. And we do mourn at times, just like all creation mourns. But we do not lose hope. We do not fall into despair. We cling to the one who makes all things new, the one who destroys death and wipes away our tears, Jesus Christ, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, who truly is all that he's been cracked up to be. And even more than that. To him alone be the glory forever and ever. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in true faith in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. This time I'm going to invite the ushers to come forward as we worship the Lord with our tithes and our offerings. Thank you. Please stand. We turn now to the bottom of page 159, and we will sing the offertory. Just have one brief update for our prayer list today. We continue to pray for Norma Mashoff, and she ended up falling last week, and in the process fractured both her nose and one of her vertebrae. She spent some time at Barnes in St. Louis this week, but she is now back in Aviston at the nursing home there, and she is improving. Thanks be to God. Let us go to God in prayer. Let us pray for the whole church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Lord of heaven and earth, in the glorious resurrection of your Son Jesus, you have given the promise of our own resurrection. As we await the last day, calm our hearts and strengthen our faith even through our sorrows. Lord, in your mercy. Heavenly Father, you have fashioned the church as a heavenly bride for your risen Son. Grant her your spirit that she may always listen to his deathless voice and ever declare his message of salvation. Bless those whom you have called to serve in the church, especially all of our partners in mission and ministry, including Pastor Hans Trinklein in South Korea and our sister congregation, Olive Branch Lutheran in Frogtown. Guide them during this time of vacancy and call process, and if it be your will, lead them quickly to the man you have chosen to serve as their next pastor. Lord, in your mercy. Gracious God, lead your people in your steadfast love and guide them in strength to your holy abode. Sanctify our homes. Be the companion of those who live alone. Make all our households places in which your wisdom and grace are found. Bless those who are married, and especially watch over those who are celebrating special anniversaries this week, including Roy and Carol Krieger, and Charles and Eileen Sanders. Lord, in your mercy. Eternal Lord, you hold all people accountable for the responsibilities you have given them. O Lord, bless our president, our governor, the Congress and legislature, and all judges and magistrates. Guide them to serve according to your will and for the common good of all. Raise up those with heroic virtue who will defend our liberty. Protect those who defend us in the armed forces, even as you give peace to the nations. Especially Michael, Daniel, Brett, Jesse, Chase, Isaac, Patty, Robert, Austin, Ward, Colby, Eric, Daniel, Joyce, Tanya, Shaylin, Alex, and Lucas. Lord, in your mercy. Heavenly Father, we praise your name for all of your gracious gifts to us, especially the gift of life. We rejoice today with all those who are celebrating birthdays, including Zane, Juliana, Derek, Macy, Deb, Mike, Thomas, Helen, Caitlin, Deborah, and Quinn. Lead them and guide them all of their days. Lord, in your mercy. O Alpha and Omega, you pledge to bring all things to their perfect consummation. You will bring heaven to earth and banish sorrow, sin, and death. Sustain all those who are on our prayer list, including those who are in care facilities, Nancy, Thretta, Ferris, Wilfred, Bill, Richard, Carlene, Helen, Jim, Imogene, Bessie, Brian, and Norma. We continue to lift Deb before your throne as she recovers from her recent transplant surgery, and also all those with ongoing health needs and concerns, Daryl, Joan, Wayne, Amy, Patrick, Rebecca, Beulah, Carolyn, Doug, Millie, Bradley, Wayne, Andrea, Linda, Missy, Chris, Sam, Paula, and all those who are fighting cancer. By the comfort of your holy word, increase their faith and see them through their trials. Lord, in your mercy. Lord God, Heavenly Father, we wait for the second coming of your resurrected Son. Grant us patience as we long to see him. And even now, give us joy at his presence with us through the word and sacrament. Lord, in your mercy. All these things and whatever else you know that we need, grant us, Father, for the sake of him who died and rose again and now lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Receive the blessing of the Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with his favor and grant to you his peace. Amen. You may be seated. The closing hymn today is 803, Joyful, Joyful, We Adore Thee. Please stand. Thank you, Chime Choir. Good morning. A few announcements before we proceed with our next thing. So as we had previously announced, there will be a special voters meeting taking place as soon as I finished speaking. And so we do encourage all of our voters to stick around. We're going to be discussing the building that has been offered to Trinity, and we are going to hear the recommendation of the committee that's been looking into that. There is one more door offering that we are going to collect for Vacation Bible School. Thank you to those of you who have already donated to help us defray the cost of that program. I know that a lot of you are planning to stick around for the meeting, so we'll make sure that there will be an offering plate after the meeting if you'd like to place an offering there for Vacation Bible School. God's Wonder Lab will be June 20th through the 24th, and it'll be here before you know it. And as usual, please let us know if any of you are interested in volunteering. Even if you can't be there all 5 days, it's helpful to have different folks available at different points of the week. Also, looking ahead, we're going to be having our graduation, as this is the final week of school here at Trinity. We're going to be having our graduation 2 Sundays from now on May 29th. And at that time, we'd also like to recognize the names of other graduates. So not just our 8th grade graduates here, but other graduates, grade school graduates, high school and college graduates. We'd like to recognize all of them on that day, but we need those names. So if you could submit those names for anyone in your family or any loved ones of yours who are going to be graduating, please let us know that by noon on May 27th. Tonight, there is Youth Night for YPS and Club 58. They are meeting at 6 o'clock. We hope that our youth can be there tonight. Tomorrow is our preschool and kindergarten graduation. That'll be at 6 o'clock over in the Activity Center. Next Sunday, May 22nd, is going to be our senior social. Looking forward to that, and there will be a sign-up sheet there in the narthex. If you haven't already let us know that you're planning on coming, that helps us to plan. I think those are all the announcements. Anything else that I missed or should have said? Okay, if not, I will at this time dismiss those of you who are not planning to stay for the voters' meeting. Go in peace, serve the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you for joining us today.
Go in peace and serve the Lord.